Welcome to Inspired, a PLTW podcast. And on the episode today, I've got a couple of really outstanding teachers and leaders in their communities. And honestly, we're here to talk about something that I was guilty of as a teacher. I was guilty of getting from spring break and then just barely making it through. And I know that a lot of folks can probably relate to that feeling towards the end of the school year, but we're actually here today to talk about the ways we can sort of work ahead so that we can really enjoy that summer break, and then we can also launch into the fall with confidence and being prepared and being ready to go, having done some of the work at the end of the previous year. So first thing I want to do is start off by introducing, having our guests introduce themselves. So Seth Ponder, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name's Seth Ponder. I teach at Riley High School in South Bend, Indiana. Teach all kinds of Project Lead the Way classes. Been doing that at Riley for 11 years. And before that, I was at Urie Middle School and John Glenn, just south of South Bend. And excited to be here. And thanks for the opportunity.
Awesome.
Tori Spanier, about 45 minutes west of Minneapolis in Delano, Minnesota. My 24th year teaching. I've been teaching Project Lead the Way since 2009. Became a master teacher in 2013. Seventh and eighth grade, so I do design and modeling with seventh graders, automation robotics with eighth graders. Just excited to be here, talk more about what we do and how things go to end the year. So
yeah, absolutely. So talking about how we prepare and sort of fight through, you know, trailing off at the end of a school year, I kind of want to start on, you know, really tangible small sorts of things and to kind of work our way out. So when you're in this part of the year, Seth, when you're trying to finish the year strong, as we say, what are some of the things that you try to either guarantee you do or maybe even kind of force yourself to do now because you know it's going to pay off later?
Getting ready for the next year is always fun. So I was the type of guy that was like, oh, that'll be next year's problem until I realized it's next year. And yeah. So now I do my best of, if a kid says, you know what, this instructions could be better this way, or have you thought of this? So I'm always trying to get the user experience in mind and change the directions right away, especially if they're a live document or on Canvas and the instructions, and just change them so that they are ready for the next class or especially the next year. Also, you mentioned, you know, getting them ready. Project Lead the Way does a great job of us as students reminding us as we're going through training what it's like to be a student.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's the magic of PLTW, is hearing from Tori and others when you're doing the training. But also you got to remember, like, when you're the teacher, you're also, I enjoy doing the projects with them. And so getting that feedback and building that network of trust.
I mean, it sounds cliche, lifelong learning, all that stuff, but when you do go through core training, when you do work with master teachers to train on whatever courses you're going to be teaching, that's how those are set up. I mean, that's the best way to learn, is to do. So I'm with you, and like there's some real authenticity to intimately knowing what it is that those students are going through in this big passion project or capstone. Tori, what about you?
I think for me, I was really always good at writing things down throughout the school year, and, you know, notes and ideas of how I wanted to change or tweak things. And then, like you were mentioning, it gets to the end of the school year and you're just trying to survive and not necessarily going back and looking through those things to see and review, like, what I could change, where I could get things better. One thing I have done, you guys mentioned too, is always final assessments, or I have a feedback form from students of what do you like, what do you, you know, what don't you like, something I've actually reviewed every year with my administrator. It's one of those, you've got to have some thick skin, because sometimes something that maybe you're passionate about or you thought went really well didn't really go well in some of the minds of your students. So you kind of have to take it as it is and keep that in mind as you're trying to move forward with things. I think during the school year, doing a lot of trainings and things for Project Lead the Way, I get a lot of great ideas from other master teachers. And sometimes I try to incorporate those things right away in thinking that, oh, that's awesome. Like, let's try that. And then understanding too, like, well, that might work really well in their classroom with that approach. And maybe I threw it in there. And sometimes it's gonna take a little bit of massaging or some little changes and tweaks and modifications of things. And so documenting or just writing myself some notes, I'm still kind of that old school of writing things down, but I think I've gotten better at just reviewing those and going back then at the end of the school year, along with those feedback kind of mechanisms from students and trying to adjust and change and make things a little more interesting and valid for students. And like you said, authentic learning, I think you need that feedback from kids in order to make it better for them to follow. And that's easiest done in the spring and just having those notes in mind. I am somebody who continues to do stuff over the summer. I think as a master teacher, it's kind of natural that way because the bulk of our trainings are in the summer. And so that's where you get a lot of your other great ideas and resources. But also Project Lead the Way has done a really good job of implementing, you know, additional things and making modifications and extension activities. Sometimes those things come up during the school year and something that maybe I didn't see or know about while I went through a training. But again, trying to make note of that and going back and reviewing some of those things at the end of the school year and helping plan ahead and go forward of, well, how could I incorporate something like with that? I think robotics, the latest one has just been drones. There's been more of an interest in that. And so kind of back of my mind thinking, well, how could I incorporate or what could I do? And then come to find out there's a special ed teacher down the hall where her husband works in agriculture and now he's flying drones. Yeah. So now it's spending some time picking her brain about what he does and how his job works and things. And then another master teacher actually has a drone team. So, okay, what kind of drones are you using in your classroom or with your team? And then talking with others about what they're doing. And so you kind of slowly piece all of that together. And that just takes time. And I think, like I said, making note of that and kind of moving through it that way. And now I'm kind of at that point where, okay, maybe I'm ready to take a bit more of a plunge into it. I've experimented a little bit with it, bought a couple of them, have students play around with them a little bit, but maybe moving forward then more full scale with incorporating some more of those kind of activities.
Yeah, the sort of the tactic seems simple. Write things down, right? Tactically, it's just like when something comes up in the course of the year, I gotta make a note. So like, you know, when I was in the classroom, and I guess it's still the same now, it was always paper until there was some other kind of digital paper. And now, then it was like a Google Keep note or whatever. And so now, I mean, to this day, those things all get dropped into, in my case, a OneNote. And it's like a cache of I need to revisit. The advice, the takeaway is write it down when it happens because it's gonna fly out of your brain by the end of the day if you don't. Not because we're aging, but not because of that, but because it's the reality of the world. You got a lot going on when you're teaching and there's just so many things. But I think what you're talking about is being deliberate about that, but then revisiting the action items that
right.
come from it.
You know, you never know where you're going to be able to write something down when you have a thought. And then, like I said, I would always write things down, but then, you know, fail to revisit or go back and look. And so that's where that kind of started for me. And I think everybody has their own way. Some people are digital. You know, for me, I find it best if I physically write things down because it helps make more of a mental note in my own brain and going back and revisiting that again, whereas digital for me doesn't work as well because it gets lost in a file. And, yeah. And that was another thing I was going to talk about too, is cleaning out your Google Drive or whatever it is that you have your files saved to. I think that's another big one where, as a teacher, I'm kind of a hoarder of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially if you go into my drive or my hard drive and there are things that I have saved from 25 years ago or whenever I took a training here that maybe I just need to clean out and help organize, that to me has been something good to do in the spring because then when I come back, you know, all of my things are a little bit more organized, refreshed, you know, creating folders of things that I did use during the year and maybe letting some of those other things go and moving on from them that way has been helpful that way.
Yeah. Spring cleaning, right?
I mean, my Remind app is probably my most used app mm-hmm. as I'm driving here and telling Siri, hey, remind me of do yeah. this, and, you know, it's the same thing for school stuff.
Right. Yeah. Tori, you spoke about, like, looking at what worked and what didn't, and you've got middle schoolers. So when you're sort of, I think middle school is a challenge. I taught 6th and 7th grade for a bit. I feel like there's an extra level of a need of engagement at this time of year with that group of kids, probably a little bit more than high school, maybe.
I taught middle school for 10 years and I've aged a little bit and I'm glad I'm at the high school level.
Yeah, yeah. What's your experience in working with middle schoolers at this time of year? What are some things that you think work maybe better at this time of year versus maybe in the fall?
Right. I think for us, a big part of it is just the curriculum itself. It's an engaging curriculum, especially with the revisions and things to like automation robotics with build guides and things. That makes and lends itself a little bit more to not everybody listening to me. I think in part, as a middle school teacher, you have to have a bit more patience and understanding in terms of behaviors and other things that maybe are going to go on in a lab setting where, you know, kids are building, they're going to have some side conversations, there's going to be some distractions. But just by using those facilitator kind of moves of close proximity, walking around, sitting down with them, showing them different ideas of, well, maybe you should try something like this or doing things like that. I don't think it's really a whole lot different in terms of engagement from fall to spring. You do notice a bit more squirreliness and things that perhaps kids are ready to move on and be done, especially after things like state testing. Yeah. So for me, it's just having other engaging kinds of activities. We do a lot of 3D modeling for Tinkercad in 7th grade, and I've tried to continue to find different opportunities, tutorials, things that they can follow at their own pace. You know, sometimes kids will just need a break and be able to step away from something, and having more of a tutorial or a video that they can pause and go back to and watch, but then having options of things that they can choose from that maybe they would like to do, as opposed to trying to force them all to do the same kind of thing. And again, that's a big advantage of just being a master teacher, is picking some of those things up from others who are doing some of the same things. But then also during the year of just keeping your eyes and ears open for other opportunities, other things that you stumble upon, whether it's through social media or other avenues where, you know, that would be a really good idea, or that would be cool to try and incorporate something like that. And just trying, for me, spring is a good time to test those kind of things.
Absolutely.
Out.
Yeah.
And just throw them out there and see what the kids can do. And I'm really fortunate to have a supportive administration. I feel like, you know, they're pretty cool with me trying some different things and new things with students in the classroom. And then from there, like you say, you can take the summer to kind of reorganize how things went and your thoughts and go back then and try to pull it off and add that to your tool belt, add that to your options of things that you have for kids.
But
yeah, there's a lot of things at the end of the year that we have to get done, but we always want to give the kids the experience and the authentic experience like you were talking about. And so I've found that if I create an assignment that says, hey, we want drones in our school, how about I invite the South Bend Fire Department to come in, their drone team, and talk to the students. And so then I was like, okay, that's another email that I had to create. Wait a second, what if I had them ghostwrite an email as an assignment to do that? Now they're getting their writing practice and things like that. And so one less thing for me to do. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the students don't listen to this podcast. But you know, but also, you know, giving them ownership of it,
yes,
the entire process, right? So, and it's a lot harder for a grown-up to say, sorry, we can't make it, to a student.
Mm-hmm.
And for
mm-hmm.
me, it's like, no, we're sure. busy, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when a high school student or a middle school student sent an email,
right,
that we help and go through the writing process, then you know, it's really good. It's also, you mentioned, having the trust of your administration is huge.
Yeah, and I love that you brought that example up, because, you know, we talk about problem, project-based learning, and I think a lot of times folks that don't live that don't really grasp what that means. I think a lot of times folks think project, they think big things to build and so forth. And, you know, you make a great point that there are multiple literacies that you're able to help students refine through this concept. So like with the drones, like, okay, we're gonna bring in experience from outside, that's networking, we're gonna get to that in a minute. I love that it's like, you know, you're being self-deprecating and saying, well, I didn't have to write the email, I had them do it. But the truth of it is, the real truth is that's authentic learning that they need. Mm-hmm. They need to be able to fashion an email in a formal voice to a community stakeholder, and you're not an English teacher.
Right.
So you're hitting the literacy in your PLTW courses, and your English teachers are hopefully thankful and grateful for that. And that's, as an English teacher, I was trying to do kind of the opposite. At the end of the year, to your point about, you know, being engaging and trying new things, I agree wholeheartedly. Spring is a great time to be like, oh man, I saw this really cool thing, let me see if I can pull that off. Because they've got all of that content knowledge that you can build from. And so for me, you're gonna laugh at this, for me, I was in an English class teaching, you know, grammar and mechanics, which everybody loves. Everybody loves parts of speech, punctuation, all of that. Language conventions are a party. And so
diagramming sense.
Yes, yes, everybody loves that. And knowing that, and knowing that I really needed to hit that stuff at the end of the year again with my students, I took some of what I learned from our tech experience, and I was like, okay, Spheros. Mm-hmm. You got the Spheros. So I had kids, and this was a great spring thing because it was building on prior knowledge, but it was also fun for them. They were diagramming sentences with the Sphero, big, huge sentences on the floor. And they would code the color to change for each part of speech throughout the sentence, or each part of the sentence, subject, predicate. Oh, okay, now we're gonna do, where's the verb? And it's gonna be pink and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it was hilarious to me, because I was, and you guys know this better than anybody, I was fooling them into learning. I was like, I'm a magician. But I think that your point about, you know, trying those things, trying what you see, and adapting it to your students and their knowledge base and their experiences throughout the year is super important. It also keeps teachers, it keeps you engaged, right? Like, oh, I gotta get to this lesson again, boring. If I ever have that moment, I think if you guys ever have the moment where you're like, oh, I'm dreading this module, you're probably not going to, you're gonna do something with it so that you're not dreading it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That flexibility. Seth, you said something to me a few weeks ago, you're like, PLTW is not a script. Right. And that stuck with me, because it seems like a lot of the most exceptional teachers are using curriculum and their knowledge base as a guide, but not a script.
Right. Yeah, that's the greatest thing about Project Lead the Way, is we go through these trainings in the summertime and we build a great network, but it's not a script. And Project Lead the Way will tell you that, right? And they want you to have it community focused. So, you know, a master teacher that I worked with, you know, I'm from Indiana, he was from Florida. And one of the activities in the civil engineering at the time was to design a library that could hold snow load based in Indianapolis. And he's from Miami Beach, and he's, my students, A, don't know snow, and B, don't know that it weighs something.
All right, yeah.
And I was like, oh, right. Yeah. And whereas my students are like, no, it's super heavy, because we do those calculations on snow days, because that's our e-learning. But it's great to have those experiences and just be like, all right, customize it for your students, for your school, for your community.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's one of the things I've taken away during trainings, too, of you know, you have community through Project Lead the Way, and there's a lot of people that share some really good resources. Mm-hmm. I know there's other groups out on different social medias where people share things. And I always caution people of, look, just because it looks good doesn't mean that it's good in your classroom. Like, everybody has their own kind of way they massage things and change things to make it fit their own room. And so I always caution people, you know, make sure you're not just taking it and throwing it directly to students and thinking that it's going to be the same experience for your students that way. A lot of great ideas, but maybe they change things. Even when I do brainstorming with my students, we're currently doing, we did the turbine for automation and robotics. And I've changed the requirements a little bit from what the requirements are listed in the curriculum. So as they're brainstorming, I tell them, it's okay to look on Google and see those examples to give you a leaping or a starting off point. But understand, the ones you see there might not necessarily mean the same or meet the same requirements that we're looking at here for this one. So it still requires them to think critically and look at that and think, okay, is this meeting all the different design requirements that we have for our classroom that way? And another point I thought of while you were talking, if you looked at my robotics course within Google Classroom, I feel like I've got different themes of submissions, you know, where I have kids take pictures of their solution, answer questions, mm-hmm. you know, the requirements are listed out in different things that way. And I pulled one from this person that I found with this resource, and I pulled another one for this one. And so all the themes of my different slideshows or my submissions seem to be different from one assignment to the next or one activity to the next. And that's another thing that's on my list of spring things to do, is go back and revise some of those to at least give it a little more cohesiveness and make them look a little more like they belong rather than just smatterings of ones that I've picked up. Yeah. But I think that's one of the great things too about it is, you know, I've picked up this one was really good from somebody, I've got another really good one from somebody else, and I've made changes, but I just haven't spent the time to go in and fully change things to look like one cohesive unit. So
yeah, and Project Lead the Way does a good job keeping up to date with the curriculum. But if we were to teach the classes that we were taught in college 20 plus years ago and as a technology, engineering, computer science, biomed class, you know, it'd be a history class. You know, we want our surgeons to be fixing our knees with modern technology. We want our engineering classes, computer science classes, to be as up to date as possible, and so
yeah. What I hear, you know, through the conversation here the last few minutes is, you know, this focus on really two things: personalizing learning experiences, trying what hopefully teacher we're trying to do that all year, but I think in the spring is even more important and helpful. Personalizing the learning experiences, letting students have ownership of what it is that they're doing, and then taking the, using your teacher resources to inspire you for ideation. And so we talked earlier about, you know, what module you want to change and making note of that. And then, you know, it seems like, again, spring is that time where, we tinker, but we also are maybe having our ears open a little bit more even to see, you know, is there a way I can take this thing and make it my own? Which I think is just a teacher trait anyway. But again, the timeliness of that seems to be even more effective in the spring. You also, both of you have referenced sort of networking. And I think when we kind of transition to talking about all the things that happen in the summer, and all the things that happen to sort of kick off the fall, and you mentioned, you know, recruiting kids into programs and things like that. You talked about getting the fire department to come in and talk. What are the types of things that you or folks you know in your buildings, in your districts, folks that you're training in the summer, what are the types of activities that are happening spring, summer, that are reaching out into the community, engaging those folks to kind of, we want them to be all in on what you're doing. You want them to be all in on what you're doing. So what are some examples that you can share?
I'm pretty fortunate to be in South Bend, which is in the same backyard as the University of Notre Dame and other universities, but Notre Dame and many universities around the country are doing
research experience for teachers with like NSF grants and things. And so I've had summer jobs, internships with computer science departments, engineering departments at the university to focus on things like facial recognition and environmental engineering. And so then I can bring those back to the classroom. And then the building the network of, hey, this professor who's doing this is willing and excited to come talk to my students. The South Bend Regional Chamber also does education externships where an educator can sign up for a week and then experience what it's like to be in different businesses and corporations in the area. And same kind of thing. Those people are so supportive, and you get to kind of see what they're doing, the day-to-day, and then they are more excited to come talk to your students. That has led to some field trips, guest speakers. So I'm very fortunate in our area that we get supported by not only our corporation, but also the outside community too.
Yeah, and I see a lot of that. I'm on the internet entirely too much, as you well know, but a lot of what I see coming out of South Bend and out of Riley is a lot of community engagement events and lots of content that just clearly shows, you know, the sort of it takes a village sort of mentality. And that's what those experiences, bringing folks in and then going out field trip wise, those are the things that are the ultimately really impactful for those students when they really do get to visit a manufacturing facility, and that's something that they've been learning about and they see it firsthand. I live in West Lafayette. A lot of the field trips go to Caterpillar or Subaru, and it's the same thing there. Those kids, when they see these robots building a vehicle, you know, it's like, oh, we did that, but on a very small scale over in our classroom. Well, now I get it. So that's really, really impactful.
I've never had a student say, I became an engineer because of the test you gave last week, right? It's always,
no. Mr. Ponder, that test was awesome.
Yeah, it's always like, you know, I'm an engineer, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a computer scientist or a teacher because of the experience that was in your class or in Mr. Painter's class. And very fortunate to try and just hear those stories after they've graduated too, because it gives you a little bit of fuel to return in the fall and a little bit more energy.
Absolutely.
It makes you feel like what you're doing is impactful.
Exactly.
Like, and I like to read in the newspaper. I often lose touch with some kids being in seventh and eighth grade.
Yeah.
But then you see like the graduation notes and things and how many kids are going somewhere for engineering or somewhere, and you just feel you were part of that. You were part of maybe planting that seed that got them interested, or maybe they had fun doing different things within your classroom that kind of helped motivate them or at least steer them in that direction in thinking about maybe that would be a career choice for me. The story I tell kids is I never knew what an engineer was. An engineer was a person who drove the train.
Right.
And they'll laugh about it. Yeah. They'll be like, what? But I said I was always really engaged in sports, and sports was a big motivator for me. And I wasn't terrible at math. I wasn't terrible at science. But if you would have maybe told me that, hey, there are careers in engineering that are related to math or that are related to sports, you know, make a golf ball fly straighter or basketball shoes that are more supportive or the whole stadium experience. Yeah. I talk about things like that in terms of engineering. I never really thought of that. Nobody planted that seed for me. And so I try to at least give them that thought of whatever it is that you're interested in, there's a career in engineering for you. A girl that a female that I reffed with, she is a chemical engineer and she works for L'Oreal creating cosmetics and other things that way. And so I try to bring those experiences in for kids because they see it one way and you're trying to give them other ideas of, well, no, it's not just about that. It's not just about the metal shop, the wood shop, you know, those kind of a little more tech classes that way. There are other areas in engineering related to that and things that you're interested in that way. And so for us, it's a little bit different at the seventh and eighth grade level. They've done things in the past of like bringing kids to the wastewater treatment facility. Yeah. That was always a real popular one because kids would come back like, "Oh, Spanier, you wouldn't believe what we saw." I'm like, I can imagine. I don't need to hear details, but that gets them thinking about, oh, well, civil engineering, and that has to go somewhere, and there has to be a system in place of how that's treated and taken care of. And so, again, all of those community kind of experiences, whether it's guest speakers that are coming in, I think our high school does a good job of bringing people in the spring, because you've got a lot of juniors and sophomores who are maybe starting to think about and thinking ahead to what am I going to do for college, and those can help guide students in a direction that's suitable for them too. Job fairs, things like that. And, you know, we have a board in our high school of job availabilities, internship opportunities, those kind of things that are helpful for kids that way too.
And all this experience gives kids not only for college, but military and trade.
Yeah.
This is just what the kids, all the kids have opportunities for.
Right. Yeah, you talking about sort of the different job opportunities that, you know, we use the term career-connected learning. And I think what makes that extra valuable is, like, yes, our curriculum has references to careers that are, you know, guiding students. Oh, you're in a gateway class, so you're learning about some early engineering stuff. Here are some careers that may be interesting. But then it's you guys, it's the teachers that can take the network, the community, all of your knowledge, and almost add even more array or variety to what's in the curriculum, to your point about it not being a script. You know, because now we're talking about chemical engineering, but in cosmetics. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff where it's like you're gonna catch some students that go, oh, I did not make that jump, and that sounds awesome,
right?
Which is awesome. Seth, talk a little bit about you just had, what was it, the innovation fair?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, because I saw a little bit on social. I know that you were extremely busy recently with it. Share a little bit about that.
So we have an innovation fair for our capstone classes, for the senior classes, both the computer science and the engineering side, where we open it up to the public, and it's kind of like a science fair. Yeah. And the students have their billboards or their prototypes and show off all of their research and data and just kind of show it working, hopefully, and results. This year, we combined it with our 8th grade information night, so twice as many people in the building, but also it was helpful to have those collisions of an incoming family still figuring out what high school is and all the different classes and things with some experienced seniors and their families and talking about the good things that are at Riley High School or any other school. And you kind of mentioned teaching middle school. One of my assignments is actually you have to contact one of your older teachers and invite them to the innovation fair.
Love it.
Because, you know, I taught middle school and you lose track of them. And so it's just a great way to continue that connection because middle school years are so valuable.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great combo. That's, you know, we would say like we're app smashing, right? Well, that's a great smash of, we're going to have our capstone showcase, if you will, combined with our incoming students. Because I love that, because now I've got 8th graders who are unsure, like you said, and now they get to see like an endpoint.
Yeah. Right.
Like, this is where we're going. I could do that.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And I've seen plenty of capstone projects and plenty of you know, presentations, and listened to seniors talk about their work. I've talked to juniors who have patents on it, things that they've created, and my mind is always just completely blown by that. So I love that combination of those two nights that almost every school district is going to have, but putting them together.
Right, and that was like our. We finally realized this. Selfishly, we were like, why are we doing two nights? Let's do one. But then we were talking about it, and we're like, oh, this is going to be way better. Mm-hmm. And then from my side, we always did the Innovation Fair in late May, and that just added to one more thing in May to do.
Yeah.
So we bumped it to April, and now my seniors go, oh, we're done. We're good. We got like a month of nothing.
Yeah.
I said, no. So the past week, they had to make cheesy infomercials about their project, and then yesterday we popped popcorn and watched them all.
Love it.
So they had a great time, and now we're brainstorming ideas for graduation cap design, so 3D printing things. I stole this idea from Notre Dame Architecture,
But, you know, having something on their cap that, you know, they can have, personalize it, 3D print.
Well, and like I think what you were talking or speaking to before is now that eighth grader kind of has that vision, but they also can make a connection with those students. And depending on, you know, the size of your school and everything else, I'm thinking for us personally, it would give that connection when they see that student. Maybe they see them in different classes or they see them in the hallway and think, all right, maybe I can pick your brain. Like, what kind of classes did you take? Yeah. What kinds of things did you enjoy doing? And it just helps those eighth graders as they get into high school kind of give them another idea or give them another connection of where they want to go. And that's a great idea.
Really good stuff. I, you know, coming into the episode here today, I wanted teachers to be able to, and building leaders, frankly, too, and site coordinators. I wanted people to be able to take some idea, big or small, and consider it as they finish out the school year and get into summer. And I really think everything from being deliberate about writing down ideas and acting on them. Something as simple as that, but it's a lot more difficult than it seems. All the way through these large events that, you know, frankly, every PLTW building is often doing some kind of showcase, whether it's capstone or not. But then just something as seemingly simple as like combining those days, those two events, makes it a much more profound overall event. Things like this that I think anyone involved in a school district can take and apply and be like, yeah, we want to try that. As you guys have been talking today, I mentioned the personalization of things and the sort of the teacher mentality of massaging something you see and making it your own or making it what works best for your kids. I used to coach soccer, and I used to go to the IU Soccer Coaching Symposium every year down in Bloomington. And all these coaches from around the Midwest would go to Bloomington and watch the IU men's soccer team do drill work. And they would, the coaches would teach us how to do these drills. That's always stuck with me because then I went back to my high school where I was teaching and coaching, and I learned very quickly that this drill looks a little bit different with elite Division I athletes than it does with my freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And that was a really great sort of connection to what you guys have been talking about in my head, because it's like, take the thing, take the idea about the caps from Notre Dame Engineering, take it and make it something that can work in your environment with your kids. So it's like you're constantly doing some like chemistry experiment with what's out there to make something that's going to be great for your kids. And that kind of brings us full circle to it's not a script, right?
Right.
To kind of close it out, and this might be off script, so be prepared. So start, get mentally and emotionally prepared. So we've talked a lot about a lot of ideas. And we talked about being actionable. Seth, what's one specific thing that you, putting you on the spot, take a deep breath. What's something that you're going to do this spring that you really have thought through and that you really do want to enact for the fall?
So one of our capstone projects is a senior, Samara, is doing an excellent job working with the theater department and the drama team, because every year they have to reteach someone how to do the lighting for the plays.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Samara, you know, has been talking friendly with the drama teacher at the beginning of the school year and says, you know, could you design a tutorial to do this? And I was like, that's your project. If you want it, right? Let's pull some passions. You want to get into theater lighting or concert lighting. And now that can just go all kinds of different directions. And so she, this weekend, they're doing the play. She's done all of the lighting for it. And then one of her deliverables is just a book and some documents of kind of how to do the basics. What switches do what? So that, you know, next year that person coming into lighting will have a good starting point.
Yeah.
And so my goal is to talk to as many people that want to listen at Riley High School to say, you know, what problems do you have? From the custodians to the admin, right? How can our Project Lead the Way students kind of help make things more efficient or something like that, just to help you out?
Yeah, that's I mean, I think that's just a great way to be, but it also makes a ton of sense coming from a Project Lead the Way perspective of going around and just saying, what problems do you have? My kids can probably figure something out.
Yeah. That you don't have time for, right? Yes. Like you've had this problem, you don't have time for it. And it's just giving those kids those experiences. And many of your teachers and custodians and, you know, they're all the professionals in their field. They're willing to help. They need that person or that time.
Yep. It's we say there's an extra set of eyes.
Yeah.
So they're the content expert.
Yeah.
And you're bringing in an extra new set of eyes, a new perspective to say, how do we solution seek and find a better way? Love that. What about you, Tori?
Similar to what you were saying, I had written a few things down before coming in along the same lines, but Tinkercad 3D modeling is kind of the introduction with design and modeling into the 3D modeling world. And I have some kids who come in with experience in other CAD, you know, software tools. So for me, I was thinking instead of utilizing the tutorials on Tinkercad, which is pretty basic and easy to utilize as a teacher, how about taking and having students create their own tutorials and having them reuse those? I could reuse those next year, and that builds off of Comm Arts class, which is another elective my students take, and having them do podcasts, and they're doing PSAs now. My daughter's in the class, so they're doing recordings and other things, but building off of that and having them create their own tutorials, whether it's more introductory or some of those kids who are more advanced and have, you know, 3D printers at home, which wasn't a thing, you know, 20 years ago right, when I started. Yeah. But I've got a lot of kids now that are way more advanced, and there would be a benefit to having them do some of the more advanced tutorials for other students like that in class, and just creating their own content but related to what we're doing in class, I think would be a valuable tool that way. The other one I thought of was just the drones, like as I mentioned before. That's been something that's been kind of in the back of my mind for a year now, and it's been, you know, gathering more information, deciding, you know, which direction I wanted to go. Did I want to go with this drone or that drone? And finding out from different people who utilize them, and then having that career connection of, you know, somebody being able to maybe come in and talk about their experience with it. And then just planning and having an activity or a couple activities where they're going to utilize how to, you know, program, fly, different things that way. It's kind of where I'm hoping to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. I love the flexibility and the agility of teachers, and the willingness and the want to keep it fresh for the kids, but that also keeps it fresh for you. And you know, you're gonna tackle that new drone chunk of content, and you're gonna be a first year teacher for a little bit. And that's okay. And it's great. It's invigorating. We talked about, you know, what fills your cup and keeping up with former students and all these things. That's part of it.
I think big thing, like we mentioned before, is just supportive administration. Like, to be able to feel comfortable taking that risk and not really knowing how it's going to go, and it might epically fail, and you're going to have some ups and downs with different things. But also being able to, you know, go out and purchase some drones and find areas of grants and other things. To help bring some in and make it possible. I got a new bamboo printer this year that's got a laser attachment with it. I've never done that before, but I've got students who really want to, you know, start digging in and biting into it. So giving them the flexibility of, you know, in our schedule to come down and monkey and tweak things, and I think that is a big benefit, is having that person in your corner that allows you to fail and allows you to, you know, take a chance and try new things, and perhaps isn't going to be super judgmental one way or another, and just allows you to kind of work through things and make it that experience for students.
Yeah, learning's messy, right?
And you're gonna do it, and you're gonna be real with the students. If you do fail right in front of them, you'll be like, well, that was a failure.
Right.
And the kids just think you're the expert at everything.
Right.
I'm like, I'm the expert in some things, not everything.
Right. There's no way I can be an expert with all this.
Right, and it's great for the kids to see that too.
Right. Yeah, Love that. Well, listen, we could probably stay here for another 3 hours and talk shop. But I want to thank you guys for taking time out, somehow convincing your administrators to let you be here today. I know that they value you guys a great deal, and we certainly do too. Thank you for being generous with your time and your expertise. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to Inspired PLTW Podcast. Hopefully something you got today is going to help you sail into the summer and then be ready to go in the fall.